I believe God is always ever present, but sometimes his presence brings something. And it's always trying to figure out what is that something today. God's presence is heavy here today. It's not me. It's not Sam. It's not the worship team. It's the presence of God. And he wants to do something. And even coming here, there for some of you, there was an anticipation of. And Pastor Arva just shared a picture that I want you to continue through this service. You know, either the movies or if you've been in other countries, someone who sits on the ground and they just simply put their hand up because they need something, right? All they have is a hand, and that's the picture. We need to sit in this presence of God and extend our hand, but it's not necessarily God give me, but sometimes it's that thing we have and say, God, fix this, take this. God, this is my thing. And so I want you to keep that image in your mind as we go through the service today. And maybe it hasn't come up in your heart yet, but through the message, through the rest of the service, maybe even to this point, if something is something you need to present to God, just present it to him. And then you get to do this thing. You get to close your hand and be done because you have presented it to God and he's going to do something. So, yeah, today's a good day. I love being in the house of the Lord. So, well, we are near the finish line. This week and next is the last of our series that we are in. It's called the Worship Series. As a former worship leader, I love music. I love worship songs. And we're doing kind of a backwards series, where instead of a sermon and then worship is supposed to match it, it's let's take a song and let's see what the sermon is about it. So I asked all the worship team members, you know, some of their favorite songs, and we came up with about 80 plus songs. And each team member each week, we invite someone up and we present a song, and out of their heart and testimony of the song, we get a message. And it's been a little different each week, and while I'm loving this series, I'm also, it's taking a lot out of me, learning new songs each week, and, you know, my voice doesn't do well for extended singing, so I'm looking forward to whatever God has next after this, but as we are nearing the finish line, I definitely have been blessed by the messages and the testimonies that have been brought to us. And so today, our second to last, would you please welcome to the stage our guest, Kaylee Buck.
Well, hello, hello. Well, hello,
hi.
Daughter.
Hello.
You're my favorite daughter.
I was hoping you'd say
You'd
that.
You'd hoping I would say that?
Yeah.
I've got different Marvel characters on my phone next to, you know, contacts. And hers is technically, I think this is all messed up, it's Gamora from Marvel because Thanos says,
daughter.
He says, you're my favorite daughter. She's my favorite daughter. I mean, do you blame me for favorite daughter sort of thing? So,
and then she died.
Didn't he throw her off a cliff? Whoa, okay, this is a bad...
Yeah, he did.
He did. Wow, I think I need to change this.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. Sorry. You know, those analogies that they work kind of, and then they all fall apart. I guess that's what that is. So, anyways, good morning.
Morning.
So, now that you're an adult, you know, you get to make your own choices, and and here you are still at Grace Community Church. Why are you still here?
Wow, the hard questions first. I don't know. I'm still in the basement.
Why do you like Grace Community Church?
I like Grace Community Church because I don't know the family aspect of it. Like everybody's family, and it's just such a everybody's so kind and nice and. I don't know. I don't imagine myself being anywhere else.
Yeah.
This is home.
This is home.
This is home.
Yep. If parents, you've probably, I hope that, you know, your children have spoken the word of the Lord to you from time to time. And when she was in eighth grade, is when this opportunity to potentially come up to Turtle Lake was. And I remember that night as Em and I presented to the kids this thought, this idea of moving, and we were ready for the worst. And Kaylee spoke up first, and she said, "Mom, Dad, if we moved up to Turtle Lake, we'd all have to give up something, you know, our church, our friends, our school, but we want to go where the will of God is." And it was like, whoa, whose child are you? You're definitely my favorite daughter. And so let your kids speak into your lives. It's encouraging. So you like music. Technically, I don't think most people know this. What was your first instrument that you practiced and were proficient at?
The recorder.
Oh, well, no, that's true.
That's everybody.
Everyone had to do the recorder.
Trumpet.
The trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? Kaylee is a trumpet player. Yeah. Took after her dad. That's what I played.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's what I thought of.
Yeah, that's you, what you thought, right Dad. Away. I want to be like Dad.
Yeah.
but besides your dad and your mom, has there been some people growing up musically, you know, worship-wise, that you kind of look up to, or people that have spoken into your heart when it comes to worship?
I think there's a couple from Wapaka where we lived, Kira and Andrew Gladusky. Mm-hmm. She taught me, she gave me piano lessons, like notes. Mom taught me chords. But I do remember when, I don't know if you remember this, what, I was 10, 8, I don't know. I don't know ages very well. But when you guys would have worship practice on Thursday nights at Wapaka,
mm-hmm.
and there was like the real grand piano.
Yep.
And sometimes you guys would let me play right. with
oh, yeah.
you guys.
Yep.
And sometimes Kira would sit next to me and yep. she let me play with her.
Yep.
Because there's two pianos. So.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think just family, my Nana, mm-hmm. I always loved sitting next to her during worship, even though I didn't really get to
yeah.
so often as a kid, but yeah. yeah, lots of people.
You know, whether it's worship or anything else, parents, if you have something, bring your children along. Show them, train them, teach them. You know, if you're a carpenter, show them how to swing a hammer. You know, if you're an accountant, show them spreadsheets. You know, whatever it is, you know, this is how we duplicate Christ. This is how we duplicate ourselves is by giving opportunities to our kids. And then it turns around and it blesses us, as I'm blessed by all my kids, not just my favorite daughter. So tell us about what is this song, who does it, and what is this song mean to you in 2 minutes or less?
Okay. I don't know. I am your daughter. This is... okay. Wow. They're really slow. Okay. Okay. This song is Pieces by Bethel Music. One of my favorite worship songs ever. And since you brought this up, whatever, in the springtime, and we chose this song, I've just kind of been chewing on it, reading it over and over again. And essentially, it's a very simple song. It's all about God's love. Like, that's all it is. There's no storyline. There's no... Yeah. And, well, this past few months of thinking about this song, I've been, like, trying to come up with this, like, super deep... Like, everybody's just going to be like, wow, she's just brilliant. And I really thought about it, but... Just now, like this past weekend, I've been like, wow, I just need to, you know, give it to the Lord. And during worship, he really just, I don't know, my eyes really opened that. Who am I? Who am I to receive God's love? Who are we? What have we done?
You're not supposed to cry, girl.
What have I done to receive such a perfect love that has no flaw, that is always kind, that is always just so good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm a wreck. I'm nothing. All I do is mess up. What have I done?
Yeah. To receive this.
To earn God's love.
Yep. All right. Yeah, catch your breath. Pieces. Thank you.
spark. It's not just a flame. Your love is alive, and all the world will see. And all the world will see. You don't give your heart in pieces. You don't hide yourself to Jesus. You don't give your heart. Hide yourself to Jesus. Your love's not fractured. It's not a troubled mind. It isn't anxious. It's not the restless kind. Your love's not passive. It's never disengaged. It keeps its promises. It keeps its word. It honors what's sacred. Its vows are good. Your love's not broken. It's not insecure. Your love's not selfish.
Your love is God.
Thank you, Lord, for your love. Even though I don't deserve it, and I've done nothing. I've done everything but to deserve it. I'm not worthy, but somehow, some way, you still love me for who I am. You don't ask me to change, to be somebody I'm not. That you're always forgiving me. You're always kind. We don't deserve you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I did not make it today.
Oops, it's time. It's time. Time for the word. Hallelujah. God is good. God doesn't give us his love in bite-sized little pieces. He gives us all of his love. Love. As she said, she was trying to think of something deep to share, and she gave me a message in her response when I emailed all the team members. And so we'll start off with one quote from her, which I don't know if she got this or if she just made it up. I'm going to pretend she made it up because this is good. Love is the most life-changing, sensitive, powerful, and fullest thing. Love can fill you up to overflowing, and it can rip you to shreds. Isn't that true? I think everyone here has been filled up with love in some form or another to overflowing, and everyone here has probably been torn to pieces, torn to shreds by someone taking what you've invested in love and walking away from you. Love, it's true. So let's talk about love today. A couple weeks ago, you were probably aware, I was up in Canada, and as John was giving an announcement, he said Pastor Jason may or may not have fled to Canada. Just to be clear, if I was to flee America for some place, probably wouldn't be Canada. But, you know, it's a nice place altogether. But I could probably think of a handful of places maybe to go to first. But anyways, I was up in Canada, and the Torgerson family, they own a lodge. It's a fishing and hunting lodge up in, it's called Dogskin. It's a lake, north of Winnipeg and Manitoba. And the only way to get there is by float plane. There are no roads. There's no trains. You can't take a boat there. You couldn't even walk because technically the lodge is on an island. The only way in is through a float plane. And everything that's there, the buildings, the boats, you know, all the food, everything that is there is brought in by plane. And I'm a administrator, manager, organizer type thing. And so I love logistics. I don't know why. I'm sick. I know. I love operations. I mean, that's how do things work? How do they function? And so I'm sitting there at the dinner table, sitting across from Jamie, and I'm asking him these operation questions because I want to know how does this lodge, you know, function. And so I'm asking questions like, okay, trash. What do you guys do with the trash? You know, do you go and burn it? Nope, everything goes out on float plane. You know, so everything in, everything out. And so I'm thinking of everything that's around me. It exists by a plane. And so I said to him, so how did you bring in drilling equipment for water? And he said, we didn't. Then where do you get the water? And he leaned and pointed out the window, and he said, the lake. And I remember going, what? You get water out of the lake? And now, granted, they filter it many, many times. But instantly in that moment when he said that, I was comparing his lake to my lake. I live on Skinaway, across, you know, close to the hotel here. There ain't no way I'm taking a bottle and dipping it in that lake and drinking it. You can filter that 3, 4, 5, a dozen times. I ain't drinking that water. But I instantly compared my lake to his lake. And I was wrong. It was the wrong perspective. But that is exactly what we all do with God's love. We compare God's love with what we know. Because what we know is what we know. And so we think God's love is like the love we have or we've experienced. But the love we know, church, I'm sorry, is filthy. That's the love we know. It's polluted, it's gross, it smells bad, it's selfish, it's ornery, it's fleeting, it's short-lived. Our love is conditional. Our love stinks. So naturally, we think that God's love must be like what we know. So when we think of God and how he loves us, we kind of think, well, he really doesn't love us. He only loves us if we love him first. He loves us for some other purpose, some ulterior motive, right? He'll take away his love at any minute now. He dangles it over us. That's what he's doing. Or we think of this song and we go, no, God, he just gives us a piece of his love. God is only teasing us with love. If you've had any of those thoughts, and I think we all have, you are wrong. You are wrong about God's love. Another quote from Kaylee. God's love is the truest of love. His description of it, his proof of it, there is no flaw in how he loves. You know how gold is the gold standard of currency? God, who is love, is the God standard of love. And so this morning we want to look at love, and we want to learn about the purest and most perfect form of love, and that is God's love. And so we get that out, if you have your Bibles, we get that from a scripture. There's many scriptures, but we're going to dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the love chapter, right? That's what it is. Or it is read or preached on at most every single wedding you've ever been to, right? It is the love chapter. Now, I have a little vow. I do things a little differently in my life. You know, if the crowd wants to go this way, I tend to go, I want to go that way. And so I made a vow. I've done a dozen weddings or so that I will never preach out of 1 Corinthians 13. Not because it's bad. I mean, it's great. It's a great description of love, but everyone uses it. And secondly, when I read 1 Corinthians 13, I go, I can't attain that. And I'm supposed to use that as a standard for marriage? Oh, that's too hard. But it is the God standard of love. And yes, it should be the mark we aim for when it comes to love, in our lives and even in marriage. It is a great scripture. But when I read it, I go, oh, that's tough. So as we go through it today, let's try to understand God's love. And then let's try to apply it the best we can. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Even before I was working on this message, I think it was last week, I saw a little video of Margot Robbie. I think she's an actress. I think she was in Barbie. I didn't see it. But she's this actress, and she's going through, she's going through and she's signing autographs. And she could tell this person who wanted her to sign something was speaking in sign language. And she stopped and she started speaking back in sign language. And I'm not sure if it was very articulate or very refined, but she attempted to speak that language, you know, and I think it went viral sort of thing. Well, American rapper. But I'm like, that's pretty cool. That, I mean, you know, politicians or actors that can speak a bunch of languages, multiple languages, 3, 4, 5 languages. You know, like basketball, Kobe Bryant, the great, he spoke, I think, 3 languages, English, Italian, I thought French as well. And to me, that just adds to their character, like, well, that's cool that they can speak another language. In a few weeks, we're going to have one of our missionaries here, Bob McCoy. He and his wife are missionaries to Vietnam, as well as the Philippines. And their son, I believe, I think they have 2 kids, but their son is a missionary as well. But their son is deaf. And so Bob McCoy knows sign language because he raised his child knowing that. And his son is a missionary, not to a certain nation, but to a people group, the deaf, because it is one of the last groups to be reached with the full gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's not missionaries speaking sign language all over the world. And so his son speaks sign language. Bob speaks sign language, as well as he probably knows Vietnamese, Filipino, or whatever that language is. And I have a lot of respect for that. That's pretty cool. But if he doesn't love, it's not cool. You can check all these boxes of how to communicate, but if you don't love, it's meaningless. Verse 2. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans, how many would like to know all God's secret plans? How many have asked, so do you think we're in end times? Right? We want to know, you know, is that the Antichrist? We want to know these things. If I knew all that, God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Nothing. So think about your talents. God-given, things you've learned, things you've practiced, they mean nothing without love. Actually, it doesn't say they mean nothing. It says, you or I am nothing. Hey, church, you're nothing. Ouch. If you have not love, you are nothing. I don't care about, apparently Uncle Sam has got to work on his uncle giftedness. Maybe it's about love. Maybe little Theo there doesn't feel the love. Your bank account, your experience, your titles, your degrees, nothing. They mean nothing if you have not love. Wow. Love must be something important in the kingdom of God. Verse 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So wait, is this saying that you can actually give to the poor without love? Well, I give to the needy. How many corporations give to the poor? Why do they do it? Is it out of love? We can give to the poor without love. We can give up our life or lay our life down without love. And what do you gain for that? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is gained without love. So love must be important to the kingdom of God. Love. But, just like the song says, what is love? I think we need to define. We need a good definition of love. I think the world we live in, it's kind of sad, but definitions are important. Because we argue over definitions. We argue over words and stuff like that, even pronunciations. Is it GIF or JIF? You know, those who send out pictures and stuff, some of you don't know, a dot GIF. I always thought it was a JIF, but apparently it's a GIF. I got another one for you. You're going to laugh at me. Be nice. It was like 8 years ago or something. My kids are smiling. They probably know what's coming. I've seen these pictures. It's a picture like from a movie, and then it has like a statement in it, right? M-E-M-E is what they are. I had never heard it spoken. So I came home and I said, hey, kids, I saw this great meme. Dad! No, it wasn't 3 years ago. No. Dad, it's a meme. Ha, ha, ha. You know what the fun thing is? I got it all in your head now. You're going to go on your phone and you're going to go, hey, there's a meme. We can make that a meme. A meme. Dad, picture me. Meme. Definitions, I think. Understanding is important. We have to define life. In my mind, when my heart stops, that means I don't have life. Doesn't that mean that when my heart starts, I have life? Let's get it. We have to define life. We have to define genders. We have to define love. But where are we going to get our definitions? From this mind of mine that says Mimi? No. Our definition of love must come from God. And how do we get it? from his written word and from our experience of how he's applied love to our life. So let's go to God. As we go through these verses, we're going to get God's definition of love. Now, but before we get into verse 4, a little activity, okay? Everybody stand up, if you would. Okay, we got to move around a little bit. Some of you are snoozing already. Get you on your feet. Okay, this is the activity. We are about to list what God's definition of love is. So there's his love, and then there's our love. And so everyone is standing. When we put up a definition of his love, if yours matches, if yours is the same, stay standing. But if yours doesn't measure up, be seated. Okay, pretty simple. Verse 4. God's love is patient. Okay, good. A few of you remain standing, and I applaud that. I appreciate that, because some of you I know are very patient in your love. But let me define it again. This is God's love. The earth has been around, depending on how you see it, maybe 6,000-7,000 years or much longer. And from the beginning, God created man and woman. And from the beginning, man has rejected God over and over and over again. And yet he continually loves earth, everyone on this planet, because his love is patient. Is anyone here 6,000 years old? All right, sit down. I do believe, and you know people in your life that are patiently love you, and that's true. But even our best, it's not tested like God's love is tested. God's love is kind. Now, the Greek there says to show oneself mild. When you picture God in your mind, do you picture him as mild? Because that's what he is. His love is mild. Are you mild with your love? Love is not jealous. That's a tough one. Because we can go to all the scriptures and we learn that God is jealous. This is love is not jealous. God is jealous. Okay, so how do we add these up? Well, God's jealousy is a righteous jealousy. I'll explain that. I am jealous as a husband to my wife. What does that mean? She's mine. Stay away from her. Okay? That's okay. I'm hers, she's mine. That's a jealous love. That's a righteous jealousy. That's not a jealous love. God's love is not jealous. There's nothing out there that he would go, well, I need that, I don't want that, I don't want that. No, God's love, he gives freely. He gives without contingencies, without conditions. God gives his love unconditionally, no strings attached. It's not jealous of anything. God doesn't go, oh, I really wish I had that or that. No, no, no. He just wishes to pour out his love. It's not jealous. Or boastful. You know, I don't have to boast about being the best PA announcer for Turtle Lake Athletics. You know why? Because I'm the only PA announcer for the athletics of Turtle Lake, okay? I don't have to boast about it. Maybe I need some competition. Oh, thank you, thank you. God doesn't have to boast about his love. Why? Because there's no competition. There's none. He doesn't have to say, well, my love's better than your love. No, because his is the only love. That's what love is. Your love that you show to other people, you shouldn't have to boast about it. People should just see it and go, yeah, yeah, that's good. That's the best. His love is not boastful or proud. Okay, I take back the PA announcing thing. You know, that was a little prideful. God's love doesn't show pride. Like I said, he doesn't say my love is better. He doesn't speak it. He shows it. Do you want to prove that your love is better for your wife, your children, for people? Show it. You don't have to speak it. Show that your love comes from God. Don't be proud of the love you show. Don't brag or boast about it. When you give to the poor, do it in secret. I may be a junkie of sorts, and apparently I have a secret dealer who deals in little envelopes and bags. Someone keeps giving me Louis Meats gift cards. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. I love Louis Meats. I don't know who you are, but thank you. I pray for you most of all. It's done in secret. I don't know who you are, and I don't need to know. And you're not revealing yourself. You do things in secret. That's love. It's just, I love Louis. I just love Pastor. Oh. We love in secret. We don't have to get a response to it. When you do a chore around the home that another should do, don't bring it up. When you pick up laundry for another, when you overlook a stinging word that cuts to your heart, you don't have to bring it up. We can love in secret. We don't have to be prideful or boastful about it. Verse 5. Or rude. We have rude love. There's another term out there. See if I get it right. I'll look to the youngins. Called ghosting, right? Ghosting simply means to ignore or not respond, correct? Yes? No? About? Maybe simply to withhold. We are rude with our love because we hold it back for conditions. We ghost people with our love. We hold it back. We delay it. We use it for some other means. Hear me this morning. If you do this in your marriage, you are sowing destruction. Husbands and wives, if you are holding back love to try to get something, that is destructive. And yes, maybe things are hard for you, but do not hold back love. Do not ghost love. Do not be rude with your love. We keep it hidden. We're waiting for the right circumstances to show love when the atmosphere is right. And what did Michelle Tanner, the little one from Full House, used to say? How rude. You guys remember that? You're rude. Your love is rude. God's is not. He is not rude with his love. It does not demand its own way. Yep. That's what love is. When we give love, we think it's an exchange for something we want or need. That's wrong. When you get married, is it, well, I'm going to love you unconditionally as long as you say the same vows and love me unconditionally. Is that what God's love is? No. No, there's a breakdown. Because we give it in order to receive something. Are you starting to get the picture here of what our love is? Our love is pretty filthy. I told you all after the first one to sit down. As we go through the list, y'all should be taking out shovels and pickaxes and digging that hole. Because we do not compare with our love to what God gives us. Can you imagine a world in which we live by God's definition of love? Can you imagine your marriage if you use God's definition of love? Wow. It is not irritable. God's love isn't irritated by you, and I have no idea why, because y'all are very irritating. But he's patient. Think about yourself and your relationship with God. If you've given him any excuse to irritate him, Yes. Yes. But his love doesn't get irritated. It bypasses that. It ignores that. Yes, you may be irritating. Yes, maybe there's some consequences to that. But his love punches right through that. Because his love is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Let me say that one again and let it simmer there. It keeps no record of wrong. Now we get the heavy equipment. Start jackhammering through that. We're digging a hole. How well do you remember being hurt? We can't let things go. That's not love. That is not love. I've had people come to me, bring up a past exchange where they may have hurt or offended me, and I have no idea what they're talking about. Yeah, I guess that was there, but because there are some situations where I have turned over a hurt to forgiveness and to love, and I completely forget about it. There are some. But that's what love is. It keeps no record. Some of you husbands and wives, you have a logbook next to your bed. Burn it up. We should keep no record of wrong. God keeps no record of wrong. I mean, you gotta chew on that one all week long. Because we can come up quickly of how we've wronged God. And he doesn't keep that record. Verse 6. It does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God's love is so pure that he rejoices when we repent and turn to him. He doesn't go, see, when we turn from God and walk away. He doesn't sit there tapping his foot. The picture of the prodigal son. After he left, what did his dad do every day? He went and he looked at the city gates, waiting for his child to return. And when he did, he ran and embraced him. That's a picture of God's love. He doesn't wrap his arms around you and go, see, told you so. This is what I told you would happen. No, that is not God's love. That's your love. That's my love. It's these conditions. It's this perspective. That is all wrong. Verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through the circumstances. When someone comes to me and says, Pastor, and it's a relationship thing, it's falling apart. I don't see what's good on the other side of this. Is that love? Love is hopeful. When you give love, it's, you take corn, you put it in the ground, and you expect what? Corn. Oh, Brussels sprouts. I must have done something wrong. When you sow love, what are your expectations? Love. That's the expectation that we should have. It's hopeful. When I think of love, I feel like, and God's love and my love, I feel like a third grader on the basketball court with Michael Jordan, even at his age right now, close to 60 or whatever he is. I feel like I'm nothing. That's what our love is to God. He's an expert in this. I'm in awe of God's love, his pure, perfect love. Verse 8. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. And yet we value them so high. They're fleeting. They're going to be gone in no time. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. What does that mean? We've got a lot to learn. And even The gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. Verse 10. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Someday we're not going to need prophecies. And the prophecies of old, many times we're talking about God's love. We're not going to need that anymore because we're going to fully experience. There is no way we can understand that right now. Fully experiencing God's love. But someday. 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, most of us, I put away childish things. Your love is childish. It's what it is. Verse 12. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And I know now, and all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Someday, we will see exactly how perfect God's love is. It's real now. He shows it now. But we don't see it clearly because we're comparing it to our love, which is filthy. Em and I were chatting with Kaylee last night, and I said to her, you know that, Mom and Dad, we love you. We love you. But someday, like the Huffs over here, you hang on to that newborn, the first child, right? And you love that child with everything that's in you. And there's a moment of, that's how Mom and Dad love me. That's what it's going to be someday. We're going to be in God's presence. And we're going to go, wow. That's how he loves me. I look forward to that day. But that day, that someday, can be today. We can learn and understand God's definition of love today. Verse 13 of chapter 13. Three things will last forever. Three things. What is your life built upon? We talked about the foundation today. What should be the foundation? What should be the invisible thing below the surface that we structure our lives upon? But we're all focused on timber and structure and things up here that are going to burn and fade away. What three things do you need to ingest, take in, have a diet of every single day of your life, build your life upon? These three things last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We'll end with this. Another quote from my daughter. His love is always and never. It always does this. It'll never do that. Not in between. Not sometimes. Not on occasion. Some of you really need to understand that about God's love. Because you think his love is in between, sometimes, and on occasion. There is never a true love like God's love. He is so perfect. He loves us despite it all. This patient, kind, humble, protecting love is ours and ours alone. How could someone so perfect, perfectly love such a wreck? Church, if you are searching for love from another person, from a group or an association, organization. If you're searching for something to fill that void, that emptiness, to fill that void of sorrow, of pain, of loss, of being incomplete, then you are looking for the love of your Heavenly Father and nothing else. Nothing else compares to the pure and perfect love that we can get from our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is springs of living water. It is refreshing to our souls. And yet sometimes we come to a place like this, or we open up the Word, and we look at it like I looked at that lake and go, I don't know if I want to drink out of that, because it's probably got something bad in it. not God's love. There is nothing wrong with God's love other than when we don't receive it. Receive God's love. Understand His love and apply it, oh, the best you can. Everything you got. And He created husbands and wives. Practice. Moms and dads and kids. Practice. Practice loving each other, not with the love you know, but the love God has given. Let's pray. God, I want Your love. Oh. And Lord, there's been moments in my life where I've been, even as I came to the stage here this morning, Lord, I just sensed You and Your presence. Lord, I don't know what to say or do. And You've done that many times in my life. And Lord, I just want to go back to that moment. I want to be in that moment all the time. Seems like it comes and goes, and I don't know why. But Lord, I do know someday I get to be in that moment for eternity, basking in Your love because it lasts forever and it's the greatest thing. But Lord, just as I'm hungry for love, I know everyone here and everyone on this planet needs Your love. And everyone is searching for it. They may not even know it, but they're searching for it. But whether it's a Louis card or something else, we're all trying to get our fix. And we get our fix from something that's not of You. And it must come from You. And You alone. I pray, Lord, that we are consumed with being in Your presence and in Your love. And Lord, the more we are, Lord, the more we overflow. And we love others. Because some of us, we can't see or understand You or know who You are. But we can see someone around us loving unconditionally. And that begins to give us that desire to find the source of that, which is Jesus Christ. So keep loving us, God. Keep being patient with us. Keep showing us. And I pray that we build that desire to learn Your love and share Your love, to change this world one heart at a time, not ripped to shreds, but filled to overflowing. Lord, I pray we never hold back love. We don't give our love in pieces. Lord, we give it as a whole, just as You do to us. And for that, we thank You and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.